For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's May the 24th. We're in Malachim Beis, Perek Beis. From here, for the next several parakim, the next several chapters, the Navi takes a break from going through the story based on the various kings. As what we've had until now is the Navi has been toggling back and forth between the Malchus Yehuda and the Malchus Yisrael, and every time we introduce a new king, we kind of run through his reign and then go back to whoever became king during his reign in the other kingdom, and then move forward until we get past that first king's reign, and then we go back and we keep back going back and forth like that. For here for the next several prakim, we are focusing on Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha HaNavi. And we're going to go through the story of Eliyahu and Elisha. Obviously, it's within the context of what's happening in the Malachim. However, once we get through the story of Eliyahu and Elisha, then we'll go back to the kings that were around during this time. So, for example, here in this parak that we're about to learn tonight, Eliyahu is going to depart this world. However, later in Malachim, we're going to have another incident with Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, who is going to get a message from Eliyahu. That's not a message from Eliyahu after Eliyahu left. It's while Eliyahu was still here prior to this story. So we're moving ahead with Eliyahu and Elisha, and then later on we'll come back to the storyline of the kings. Vayihi b'halos Hashem es Eliyahu b'sa'ara ha'shamayim. It was when Hashem brought up Eliyahu in a tempest to the heavens. Vayelech Eliyahu v'Elisha min ha'Gilgal. Eliyahu and Elisha traveled from the Gilgal. So the Navi tells us at the outset what this story is going to be about. It's going to be about Eliyahu going up in a wild wind into the heavens. He doesn't die. He's going to go away, as we'll see. And when this is going to happen, Eliyahu and Elisha are leaving Gilgal. That's where they were, and they're leaving Gilgal. Vayom Eliyahu el Elisha, Eliyahu said to Elisha, Shevna fo, stay here, ki Hashem shlachani ad Beis El, because Hashem has sent me to Beis El. So I need to go to Beis El, you stay here. Vayom Elisha, Elisha said, Chai Hashem mechinav shecha, I swear by Hashem and I swear by your soul, ime ezvek if I will forsake, if I will leave you. Vayerdu Beis El, and they went down to Beis El. So they went together to Beis El. Elisha refused to leave Eliyahu. Obviously, he did not take Eliyahu's words as a directive that you must stay here, because then Elisha would never have gone against his Rebbe. But he understood that Eliyahu was saying, I prefer if you stay here, or there's no reason for you to come with me. And Elisha said, I want to stay with you. I don't want to leave you. The Medrash says the reason why Eliyahu was trying to leave Elisha behind is because he didn't want Elisha to see him go up to heaven in a most miraculous way, as we will see, because of Eliyahu's anivus, because of his humility. So he felt that what's going to happen to him, which he knew what was going to happen to him, it was inappropriate that it be in front of people. It should be just him alone. But Elisha refused to leave him be. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Vayetzu b'nei ha'nevi'im asher beis el, el Elisha. So the b'nei ha'nevi'im, which means the prophets, that were in Beis El, came out to Elisha. When they got to Beis El, the prophets there came out to Elisha. Vayomer lev, they said to him, Hayadata, don't you know, or do you know, ki ayom Hashem lokeach es adonecha me'al roshecha, that today Hashem is going to take your master from upon your head, meaning you're about to lose your master. Vayomer, and he said, gam ani yadati, I also know, hecheshu, keep quiet. These Nevi'im were on a higher level of Nevuah than Elisha. They were close to the level of Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the master Navi of the generation. And these Nevi'im rivaled Eliyahu in their greatness. And Elisha was a student, so he was secondary. So they came to him to tell him, do you know you're about to lose your master? They didn't assume that he would know, because he was not on the same level of prophecy as they were. But Elisha says, I do know, keep quiet. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayomer lo Elio. So Elio said to him, Elisha, Shev nafo, please stay here. Ki Hashem shlachani Yericho, for Hashem has sent me to Yericho. Vayomer, and he said, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha, I swear by your soul, I swear by Hashem, imezveka, if I will forsake you, vayovo Yericho. And they came to Yericho. So they went from Gilgal to Beisel, now to Yericho. So now the Nevi'im that were in Yericho came close to Elisha. They said to him, Hayapata, do you know that today Hashem is going to take your master from upon your head? And he said, Gamani Adati, I also know. Hecheshu, keep quiet. Same response, same conversation. Same idea that these Nevi'im were on a higher level of Nevuah than Elisha. That's why they came to inform him. And he says, I already know. And keep quiet. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Vayomer lo Elio. Elio says to him, this is a third attempt, Shev nafo, stay here, ki Hashem shlachani hayardena, for Hashem has sent me to the Jordan River. Vayomer, and Elisha said, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshcha yimezveka, I swear by Hashem, I swear by your soul if I will forsake you. Vayelchu shneihem, they both went to the Yarden. Pasuk Zayin, Vachamishim ish mi b'nei anavim holchu, 50 men from the b'nei anavim, evidently they were the ones who were in Yericho, they went as well. Vayamdu minegen meirachok, and they stood across from these two, from Elio and Elisha, but at a distance. Ushneim amdu al yardein, and the two of them, meaning Elio and Elisha, stood at the Jordan River. Vayikach Elio es adarto. And Elio took his aderes, that's his cloak. Who can remember when we had mentioned before of the aderes Eliyahu? Can you remember? Okay, hold the thought. We're going to discuss this aderes. It's going to be very, very pivotal in this story, but we had it mentioned before. If any of you remember as we go on, you can mention it. Otherwise, we'll go back and look at it presently. Vayiglom, he folded it up. A cloak is a large piece of material. He made it into a small piece of material because he wanted to use it as a whip, as a something to strike with. So you can't do that with a large, unwieldy piece of material. So he folded it up. So now he can strike with it. Vayakas hamayim, and he struck the water with his aderes, with his cloak. Vayechotsu, and they split hena vahena this way and that. Vayavru shnehem becharavon, the two of them crossed on dry land. So Eliyahu HaNavi does what Moshe Rabbeinu did all those years ago when we left Egypt, what Yehoshua did at this very Yarden, probably in this very spot, because they're right outside Yericho. So at this very Yarden, when they crossed coming into Eretz Yisrael, here Eliyahu strikes the Yarden, and the two of them cross on dry land. Vayhi Che'avram, and it was when they crossed, Ve'Eliyahu Amar El Elisha, and Eliyahu said to Elisha, She'al me ma'e'eselach, ask, what should I do for you? Beterem elakach me'imach, before I am taken from you. So this is the first time Eliyahu tells Elisha directly what's about to happen, even though Elisha knew already, but Eliyahu now tells him directly, you know I'm going to be taken from you, so what can I do for you? Ask, before I leave. Evidently, Eliyahu had the capacity to do something for Elisha. We're not talking about, buying him a drink. We're talking about something spiritual, something significant, which he could get from Eliyahu before he leaves. Elisha said, "Vihina pishnayim beruchacha Eloi. Let it be double your spirit to me. I'd like to be able to be like you, double. I want to be able to do what you do, but double." Vayomer. Eliyahu said, Hikshisa lish'ol, you've asked a very difficult thing. This is not something I can just do. Had you asked for anything else, I may be able to do it. The Mefarshim say, had he asked to be the same as Eliyahu, Eliyahu could have said, deal, done, you got it. But because he asked for double, Eliyahu didn't have within him to give him what he didn't have himself. So he said, Im tir'e osi lukach me'itach, if you'll see me being taken from you, yihi lachachein, then that's what will be. If you see me being taken from you, then you will receive double of my spirit. V'imayin, but if not, lo yia, it will not be. Sounds like it's double or nothing. That's what it sounds like. Right? So he said, if you see me being taken, then fine, you'll get it. Otherwise, you won't. Now,
was the cloak when Elisha first started his career?
Yeah, and what happened? Good, good.
So Eliyahu came when Elisha was plowing.
Right.
And then he threw his cloak
to him. That's right. He threw his cloak to him. That was a symbol that I'm going to take you as my student by throwing his cloak to him. You see, the cloak was a symbol of Elisha becoming the student. Now, that's very, very important as we're going to see what's going to happen with this cloak. Excellent. Okay. So, right, extra points. All right, sorry. So now, before we go any further, what does Elio mean to say over here? Does he mean to say that if you see me go up, then that seeing of me go up will be the catalyst for you being able to have double my spirit, to be able to do double what I do? Or does it mean that Elio is saying, only Hashem can give you this double, I can't. If you see me going up, that will be proof that Hashem is going to give you double of my ruach. Meaning, you hear what I'm saying? Is it that seeing him going up, that is what will give Elisha double? Or seeing him going up is a sign that it must be that Hashem is going to give you double, because he wouldn't let you see me go up unless he was going to give you double. But the seeing isn't what does it. It's that that's just our proof that Hashem is going to give you double. So the Radak explains it's the second thing. It's not the seeing of Elio going up that does anything. It's that most people, even if they were standing there, would not be able to see Elio go up. If you're able to see it, then that will prove that you're obviously in a position to get what you're asking for. That's what Elio said. Which means, Elio is saying like this, I'm about to go up to Shamayim. You want to get double me. If you're able to see me go up, that's something that I wouldn't have been able to do. Mm-hmm. That's bigger than me. Because if Elio could have done it also, then how does that prove Elisha will get double Elio? He's just the same as Elio. But if Elio is saying that you're seeing me go up, will mean that means that Hashem is giving you double me, that means he's saying it's one thing to go up, but to see somebody go up, that's a higher level. And if you see me go up, then I know for a fact that you have received from Hashem this bracha, that you have double my spirit. Now we have to explain what it means to be double Elio's spirit. What does that mean? Does it mean he's a bigger Talmud Chacham? Does it mean what does it mean? So we'll explain that. But he's saying if you see me go up, then it means you're double me. Now he is going to see him go up, and he is going to get double Elio. So it means that on a certain level, in some capacity, Elisha is going to be bigger than Elio. Now he's the student. Elio is the Rebbe. So we'll have to explain what that means. It doesn't mean in every element Elisha is bigger than Elio, but in a certain way, in a certain way of looking at things, Elisha rises above his Rebbe.
But if he was going to not be able to see him go up unless he was at that spiritual level, why did Eliyahu go through all of this effort moving from place to place
to keep,
so
him,
he
from
wouldn't see, keep yeah. him from seeing it?
Yeah. Eliyahu, even if Elisha wouldn't see the actual ascent, as we'll see, but he would still have seen Eliyahu disappear. That's, it would be like, he's there one moment, he's gone the next. Nobody died, there's no body. So Elisha still would have known something unbelievable just happened. So Eliyahu didn't want, he felt that that's not appropriate to it's like showing off, look what's happening to me. Instead of just disappearing. You know, nobody knows where he went. Remember, Elio earlier in Malachim, he was gone for a while. He didn't go up to heaven. He was hiding. So Elio was prone to disappear, but not miraculously. So if he would have just left, people would have thought, okay, he's Elio. That's what he does. he exits stage left. We'll see, in fact, that there are people who believe that, even after Eliyahu went up. We'll see in the Navi.
Like when Shlomo was asked the same question, he had a totally different
yes,
answer.
Yes, excellent.
So what is it, I mean, obviously because we know that he gets what he's asking for, but should you even compare yourself and be asking for such a thing?
Good,
I mean,
good.
Is that a good thing to ask
good.
For?
Well, evidently it was because he's granted it.
Right.
But now, Shlomo, was Hashem said, do you want a long life? Do you want to subdue all your enemies? Do you want a lot of wealth? What would you like? And he said, I want Chachma. And Hashem said, because you asked for Chachma, I'm giving you everything. That's what Hashem told him. So there it was Hashem asking Shlomo, you tell me. Now, it's Hashem, then you can ask for whatever you want because Hashem is unlimited. So there's no reason to not ask for whatever you want. Harchev picha v'amalehu, Hashem says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. You ask for whatever you want. There's no limit. I don't have to give it, but you to say that Hashem, I shouldn't ask for this because maybe Hashem can't give it to me. Chas v'shalom, of course he can give it to me if he wants to. So the Shlomo asked for what he felt was the number one thing, and Hashem evidently agreed. Here, Eliyahu is not saying, ask of me what Hashem will give you. He's saying, what can I give you? So Elisha understood the question was something having to do with Eliyahu's spiritual greatness that he was able to bequeath to Elisha, similar to what we find that before Moshe dies, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, lean your hands, do smicha, lean your hands on Yehoshua. And the glow of Moshe Rabbeinu's face went from Moshe to Yehoshua at a lower level. The Gemara says, Pnei Moshe ke Pnei Chama. The face of Moshe was like the face of the moon, of the sun. Pnei Yehoshua ke Pnei Levana. The face of Yehoshua is like the face of the moon. So it was a downgrade, but nevertheless, his face glowed. No one else's face is glowed. So there was something that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hand off that glow, pass on that glow to Yehoshua. We don't understand the glow in the first place, so therefore we don't understand how do you pass it on. But he was able to do that. Elisha understood that that's what Eliyahu was saying to him over here, something along those lines. I can pass on to you something of what I have in spirituality. So ask me, what would you like? So when he asked for double, Eliyahu says, that's really beyond my capacity. So then we're going to have to use this test of whether you see me going up or not. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Vayihi hema holchem haloch v'daber. They were going and speaking. They were talking. Vihine rechav esh v'susei esh. And behold, there was a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Vayafridu bein shnehem. It separated between the two of them. So this chariot of fire and these horses of fire, you just picture them like all of a sudden, just, I don't know if they appeared this way or they ran between them, pushing them apart. They were forced apart. Vayal Elio basa'ara hashamayim. And Elio went up in a tempest and a wild wind up to the heavens. Ve'elisha roeh, Elisha was watching. V'umitzayik, and he was crying out, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael ufar Hashav, my father, the chariot of the Jews and its soldiers, its cavalry. That's what he says. V'lo ra'ahu od, and he did not see him anymore. Vayachazak, vayachazek bivgadav, and he took hold of his clothing. Elisha took hold of his clothing. Vayikra'im lishnayim kira'im, and he tore them into two tears. He tore as one does for the loss of a parent. And he tore kriya, and we learn from here certain halachos about how one is supposed to tear when one loses a parent, God forbid. The Gemara says that you see from here the fact that it says he tore it into two tears. Whenever you tear anything, it's in two. So the fact that the pasuk emphasizes he tore it into two tears teaches us, number one, that the tear has to be a recognizable tear. It can't be a little tiny tear. It's got to be enough that it's obvious to all that the garment is torn. That's where we learn that how much the garment has to be torn, and also that the tear was a permanent tear, that it's not allowed to be re-sewn or re-weaved. It has to remain torn forever. One is not allowed to re-sew the garment of that one's tour if it was torn for their parents. Even if that garment is sold to somebody else, the tear is never allowed to be re-sewn. When the tear is torn for a parent, it has to remain that way forever. So we learned that from here. So Elisha tore as one tears for a parent. We also learn from here that one's Rebbe has the same halacha as one's parent. Their Rebbe Muvhak, the one from whom they learn their main Torah from, that person has the same status as their parent. And God forbid, when that Rebbe passes away, the Talmud, the student, is required to tear as one would tear for a parent. That is also learned from here. Elisha calls him my father. He says, Avi, Avi. That's what he says, my father, my father. Now, Baruch Atah. Let's pour it first. Can't make a Baruch Atah. Pour the water first. I thought there was water. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivra. The Gemara says, what were they talking about? It says they were walking, and Pasuk Yudal, verse 11, says they were walking and talking. What were they talking about? So the Gemara says they were saying Divrei Torah. The Gemara says, what Divrei Torah? So the different opinions. One opinion is, they were discussing the laws of Kriya Shema. That's one opinion. Another opinion, they were discussing, there are several opinions, I'm trying to remember all of them. They were discussing the eventual coming of Mashiach. Another opinion is, they were discussing Maisa Merkava, God's chariot, which of course would fit in with a chariot of fire showing up over here. The Gemara says that if two people are walking, traveling, they should be talking in Torah. And the Gemara says, had they not been talking in Torah, Eliyahu and Elisha, then the chariot of fire would have burned them. They would have been consumed in flame. Because they were talking in Torah, that is why they were able to be unharmed by the chariot. Because they were talking Torah when this happened. The Medrash says that the Malach said to Hashem that, how can I do this? I don't want to hurt them. They are talking in Torah. And Hashem said, you don't have to hurt them, just push them apart. And then Eliyahu goes up with you. The phrase that Elisha says, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Ufarashav, my father, the chariot of Israel, and its, I guess it's cavalry is the best way to translate it. So the Targum Yonasan, translates this as, my Rebbe, calls him my father, but it means my Rebbe, that is good to the Jews with his davening more than chariots and cavalry. That your davening did more for the Jewish people to protect them than an army of chariots and cavalry. That's what is meant by Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael Ufarashav. So Eliyahu is now gone. And Elisha, the Gemara, at one more point, the Gemara asks, why did Elisha tear? Eliyahu didn't die. So the Gemara says, but because it says V'lo ra'ahu od, he did not see him anymore, it was as if Eliyahu had died, and that's why he tore. It was considered to be as if he was dead, so he tore. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Vayarem es aderes Eliyahu asher nafla me'alav. Now, the Navi never told us this, but now we see it by inference, that he picked up the cloak of Eliyahu that had fallen from him. Eliyahu, when he was taken up, his cloak was dropped. Now, his shoes didn't fall off, right? His yarmulke didn't fall off, right? Well, I don't know what he was wearing. But the only thing that fell was the cloak. That was left behind. So, and Elisha picked it up. Vayashav vayamor osvas hayard, and he went back and he stood on the on the bank of the Jordan River. Vayikach es haderes Eliyahu, he took the cloak of Eliyahu, asher nafla me'alav, that had fallen from him. Vayak es hamayim, and he struck the water. Vayomar, and he said, Ayei Hashem Elokei Eliyahu. Accept my davening. Ayei literally means where, but he doesn't mean where are you. He means, will you accept my davening? Will you be together with me? Hashem, the God of Eliyahu. So, in other words, will you accept my davening that I be double Eliyahu? Afhu vayakas hamayim, also he struck the water, vayechatsu hena vahena, it split both ways, this way and that, vayavor Elisha, and Elisha crossed. So, meaning, I saw Eliyahu go up, Eliyahu told me that that means that I would get double, so I'm asking you, Hashem, are you going to accept that prayer as the God of Eliyahu, the one that Eliyahu said that I would get double? And the water split. Says the Gemara, this was the first expression of Elisha being double Eliyahu. Why? Because when Eliyahu crossed and he struck the water and it split, there were two tzaddikim crossing the Jordan. Mm-hmm. And it split on behalf of two tzaddikim, Eliyahu and Elisha. But when he comes back, Eliyahu is not there. It's just Elisha. So he's half of what they were before. And he strikes the water, and it splits anyway for him. Meaning, he was now double what he was before. He makes up for Eliyahu. Now, that's a critical point. What does it mean that Elisha is double Eliyahu? And what was he really asking for? He was asking that, Eliyahu, you're leaving, but I want to embody you still being here with me. That the double will be that I'm still with you, you're still with me. It's not that Elisha was saying, I want to be better than you. Elisha was saying, I want it to be like you haven't left, that we be together, and that my spiritual, if you just use, for lack of a better word, my spiritual power will be equal to the two of us being together. That's what I'm asking for. And you see, he was granted that. The way that he was given double Eliyahu is, as the Gemara tells us, and we will have a list of this later on, that every miracle that Eliyahu did, Elisha did double those miracles. Eliyahu brings one person back to life, Elisha will bring two people back to life. Here Eliyahu had the river split for two tzaddikim, Elisha had it split for one tzaddik. And we're going to see consistently that whatever Eliyahu did, Elisha will do double, or, you know, as an example over here, he did it with half of the tools that Eliyahu did. So he's going to have double, that's what it means, double the spirit, in the miraculous things that Eliyahu did.
It says when Eliyahu struck it, they walked on dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why it doesn't say that.
That's a good question.
So that I wouldn't be bothered by the fact that it doesn't say
that. It's a good question. It doesn't say over here either that he folded it up, but I assume that he did because that's what happened before. So it could be that is omitted because we're just following the same pattern as before, but it's a good question. It's a good question.
When Eliyahu asks Elisha to go to resurrect the body first by himself, I know he gave him his staff. Did he also give him his cloak?
When Eliyahu asked Elisha.
When the Shulamite woman comes.
No, right? That's Elisha.
Sending someone else.
Gehazi.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm getting confused.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There he gives him his mishenes, his staff. Yeah.
And that's it, not the cloak.
Yeah, not the cloak, no. No, as you would imagine, this cloak is very precious to Elisha.
Yeah.
It's the one thing he's got from his Rebbe.
Where
he doesn't
Eliyahu
even
got it.
Huh?
Okay. Where did Eliyahu get it?
I'm not sure about that. It's a good question. I don't know. But Elisha doesn't even have a grave to go to, right? His Rebbe is gone,
right.
And he doesn't even have a gravesite. He's nothing. He's absolutely nothing from his Rebbe.
But the cloak.
So this Aderes is extremely significant for Elisha. Yeah.
Did he understand clearly that Eliyahu had not died?
Yes. Yeah, he understood that. He understood. He saw him go up. He understood he didn't die. But nevertheless, Eliyahu does take on a different form. He's not the same as before. It says, "Velo ra'ahu od." He didn't see him anymore. Mm-hmm. We know that throughout the generations, Eliyahu has appeared to people. Mm-hmm. And it does happen. The Gemara has many stories of Eliyahu appearing to people. And we know that it happens once in a while. Evidently, Elisha didn't get that. For all of his greatness, But Eliyahu does not appear to Elisha. Elisha is the one who now assumes the leadership of the people, meaning the spiritual leadership of the people. They're still kings, so he's not the government leadership, but he is the spiritual leader of the people. He's the greatest Navi of his generation. And he embodies himself and Eliyahu. Now, Eliyahu leaving does have a significant impact, a negative impact on the world, as we're about to see. It's not that Elisha managed to make it as if Eliyahu had not left at all. Eliyahu left, and therefore there's going to be a downgrade, as we're about to see, in the spirituality of the world. But within Elisha, he's still able to hold on to the greatness of Eliyahu within himself. That's what he was granted when he saw Eliyahu go up to Shamayim.
If there were all these other prophets who had the same level, if not higher than Elisha, because it doesn't seem like we're clear if Elisha
higher,
really knew.
Higher than Elisha.
Definitely higher. Yeah. Then why is Elisha the next one in line?
Good. Okay, so hold that thought. We're going to talk about that. Okay. Now, just make sure I don't forget one thing. Oh, yes. So the Aderes Eliyahu, as we mentioned already, Mrs. Stein mentioned, that was the way that Eliyahu had originally showed Elisha that he's taking him as his student. Now, Elisha had already been a student of Eliyahu, but he had not been the student of Eliyahu. But then Hashem told Eliyahu, when Eliyahu went to Har Sinai, Hashem told Eliyahu, go, and he told him, give him three instructions, one of which was, you're going to make Elisha the Navi in your place, which didn't happen immediately, but you're to make him your primary student, and he's going to be your heir to your position of lead Navi. So the way that Eliyahu conveyed that to Elisha was by throwing him his cloak. Remember that Elisha had been plowing with 12 oxen at the time, and when this happened, he brought them as a feast. He made a feast, a seuda, to thank Hashem for this, because he understood it meant that he's now the primary student of Eliyahu. And from that on, he is the primary student of Eliyahu. He sticks with Eliyahu. He serves him. He's Mishamesh Tamidei Chachamim. He serves Tamidei Chachamim. It is from Elisha that we learn, we'll learn this later on, Gadol Shimusha Yoyser Milimuda, that it is greater to serve a Talmud Chacham than it is to learn from the Talmud Chacham, because serving Talmud Chacham is learning from the Talmud Chacham. But it's a greater form of learning. Learning that Shimusha, serving the Talmud Chacham, is greater than learning Torah itself. Serving the Talmud Chacham. And we learn it from Elisha. He becomes the attendant of Eliyahu. And therefore, when it's time for Eliyahu to leave, the item that gets left behind is the aderes, is the cloak, which is the symbol of carrying on the Eliyahu's legacy. It's like passing the baton. Right? That's what the cloak symbolizes. Tesvav 15. Vayir'uhu v'nei ha-nevi'im asher b'Yericho mineged. The Nevi'im who were in Yericho saw him from afar. Vayomu, and they said, Nacha ruach Eliyahu al Elisha. The spirit of Eliyahu has obviously fallen upon Elisha because they saw him cross the Jordan again without Eliyahu. So they understood that now Elisha had all of a sudden catapulted to the level of Eliyahu, who was greater than they were. They couldn't have made the Jordan split, and Elisha certainly couldn't have, and now he did. So they realize that Elisha has now become on the level of Eliyahu. Vayavoli krosu, they came to greet him. Vayishtachavu lo artsa, they bowed down to him. These Bnei Anavim now realized that suddenly the person who had been inferior to them in Nevuah was now their superior. Now you see an incredible humility here on their part. That's not an easy thing to accept when you're the senior in high school, and there's a freshman, and then suddenly the freshman becomes the president of the right. All of a sudden, like, what? Right? That's not an easy thing to accept. You have the position in the company, you have a very high position in the company, there's a brand new employee, and then all of a sudden that brand new employee is catapulted to being your superior. It's not a very easy thing to accept. So here, they accepted it. They didn't have a problem with it. Elisha's, okay, he's now as great as Elio. And they came, they bowed down. They understood. He's now the one that we have to recognize as our superior. Now, what to back that up, Pasuk Tezayim, verse 16, Vayomer Elav, they said to him, Hineinu yesh es avodecha chamishim anashim b'nei chayil. Your servant, they call themselves your servants. Your servants have 50 men who are b'nei chayil, who are strong. We have some young, strong men that have a lot of endurance. Yelchu navi yivakshu es adonecha. Let them go and seek out your master. Peniso ruach Hashem. Perhaps the spirit of Hashem has taken him. Vayashlicheu ba'achad ha'harim, and has sent him to one of the mountains, or ba'achas hageos, or one of the valleys. Let's go look for him. Let's send us. We have 50 men. We're strong men, so we have the endurance to do this. Let us organize a search party to go find Elio. Vayomer, he said, lo sishlachu, you should not send them. Do not do it. The Gemara asks, understand. They just told him that your master is being taken. And now they want to go look for Elio. What happened? Don't they know that Elio is not coming back? So the Gemara says, in Elio's day, there were hundreds of thousands of Nevi'im. The Gemara says 600,000 Nevi'im. There were hundreds of thousands of Nevi'im. That could be an exaggeration, or that could be literal, but 600,000. But there were hundreds of thousands of Nevi'im in Eliyahu's day. A proof to this is that here they were in Yericho. Yericho was not a city that was known for its great high level of Yirah Shamayim, a fear of heaven. Yericho was a place where a lot of people were idolaters. It was not the most holy city in Israel in the time of Elio and Elisha. Yet, there were 50 prophets as big as Elio in the city. So you see that Nevi'im were all over the place, which helps to answer the question which was asked. I think it was Mrs. Lewis who asked the question, that how is it that after Izebel killed out all the Nevi'im, all of a sudden a little bit later we find a lot of Nevi'im. Nevuah was easily accessible. People could become great and access Nevuah. Obviously, it had to be a tzaddik, but it was something which was accessible to people. They could become Nevi'im. We know, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, that even though there are only 55 Nevi'im mentioned by name in all of Tanakh, in all of Scripture, there's only 55, 48 men and 7 women, they're the only ones mentioned by name, yet there were literally millions of prophets during the 1,000 years of prophecy, from Moshe Rabbeinu down to the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Yet, only 55 are mentioned by name. Why, says the Gemara? Because Nevuah Shehutzrucha L'Doros Nechtava, a Nevuah, a prophecy that was needed for all future generations, that's what was written down. The prophecies we have here are the ones that are relevant to us today, whereas all the other prophecies were not relevant for future generations. They were only for that particular time, that particular place, that particular person, that particular family, whatever it was. In Eliyahu's time, there was Nevuah. People could easily access Nevuah. It was something which if you were a tzaddik, you worked at it, you could reach the level of Nevuah. Once Eliyahu was taken away, Nevuah became more scarce. People who had Nevuah lost it. People who didn't have it had a harder time getting there. There were still many prophets, but not like it was in the days of Eliyahu. These very same people who had prophecy just before Elio left, now that he's gone, they don't have prophecy anymore. Therefore, they're not sure what happened to Elio. They're not sure. Did he really leave? Maybe he's still here. Let's go search for him. Elio, how can we lose Elio? So we want to go look for him. Elisha knows the truth and says, don't do it. Yeah.
Is that what, I mean, it seems odd to me that they might even think Hashem carried him off and might have hurled him in the mouth.
Yeah, that means that maybe he sent them somewhere. That same language is used by Ovadia when Elio had been in hiding during the time of the drought. And then Achav goes one direction, Ovadia goes the other direction, and Ovadia meets Elio, and Elio says to Ovadia, go get Achav. And Ovadia says, you want to kill me? I'm going to go get Achav, I'm going to come back here, and Hashem is going to have thrown you, sent you on some mission somewhere, and you're not going to be here, and he's going to kill me. So Eliyahu says, no, I swear I'm going to remain here. But it's the same language over there also, that Hashem's going to send you off to someplace. The spirit of Hashem is going to take you off someplace.
How do we know that these prophets have lost prophecy instead of that they are so great that they see that he hasn't died? And so they say, since he hasn't died, let's go look for him.
Yeah, it's true. But the Gemara says over here, because they want to go look for him, they didn't, until now they knew that he was going to go up to Shamayim. He says Hashem's going to take him away. And now they want to go look for him. No matter what had happened, the original prophecy that they told Elisha was, he's gone, which means you're not getting him back. And now they still want to search for him. So they are deficient in something. Their knowledge has become deficient. Pasuk Yizayim, verse 17, Vayivtzru vo'ad bosh. They pressured him until it was already embarrassing to stop them. And they just kept saying, please, let's go look for Eliyahu, let's go look for Eliyahu, let's go look for Eliyahu. Vayomer. So Elisha said, fine, shlachu, send those people. Vayishlachu chamishim ish, they sent 50 men. Vayivakshu shlosha yamim, they searched for 3 days. V'lo mitzauhu, they did not find him, of course. Vayashuvu elav, they returned to Elisha. V'hu yoshev b'yericho, he was dwelling in Yericho. Vayomar aleim, he said to them, halo amarti aleichem al teilecho, I told you not to go. What was the point in going? I told you not to go. So they learned from here that they got to listen to whatever Elisha says. Elisha is far superior to them. It's not that he has simply reached the level of Eliyahu, which was slightly above them, but now it's clear that he's way above them, because he's on the level of Eliyahu, and they have actually diminished in their nevuah. Okay. We're going to have to discuss a lot of this, but I think we'll finish the parak at this point. Vayomru anshei ha'ir el Elisha, the men of the city said to Elisha, Hineinah moshav ha'ir tov, behold, the dwelling of this city is good. We like living here. Kasha adoni roeh, like my master sees. See, it's a beautiful city, lovely, it's a wonderful place. But, v'mayim roeim, the water is bad water, v'aretz mishakoles, and the land kills people. People die. They get sick and they die. Because it's bad water. But it's a nice place to live.
You don't want to drink anything.
So the Gemara says, huh? It's a nice place to live. Everybody dies, but it's a nice place to live. So the Gemara says, you see from here, chein makom al yoshveha. The chein of a place is on those who dwell there. People like where they live. There's a natural affinity that people have for their city. This is why professional sports is so successful. What do I care that some behemoth, you know, that they do this, that, and the other thing, and they don't care about me. What do I care? I care because they have the name of my city. And they represent me. It's my city. Right? People have an affinity for their city. People say, oh, it's a beautiful city. And visitors might say, well, what's so beautiful about it? But it's a chein makom al yoshveha. People, there's a certain affinity a person has towards the place where they live. And that here you have to see that even though the place was not a good place to live by any objective standard, but they said it's a nice place to live. Vayomer, he said, kechuli tzlochis chadasha, bring me a new flask. V'simu sham melach, and put salt in it. V'yikwe lav, they brought it to him. They brought this new flask with salt. V'yetze el motza ha'mayim, he went out to the source of the water. V'yashlech sham melach, and he threw salt there. V'yomer, and he said, Ka'amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Ripisi la'mayim o'ela, I've healed this water. Lo yiyem misham od maves u'mishakoles, it will no longer kill anybody. Vayerafu hamayim, the water was healed ad ayom hazeh, till today. Kidvar Elisha asher dibra, like the words of Elisha that he spoke. So the water got better. The Gemara says this was a nes, a soch nes. It was a miracle inside of a miracle, because salt generally makes water non-drinkable. Right? It's not you can't drink salt water. So putting salt in water shouldn't have fixed the water, and yet it made the water better. So it was a nes b'soch nes. He took an element that should have ruined the water, and he put it into the water, and it healed the water. This is a parallel to what happened with us when we left Mitzrayim after we crossed the Yam Suf, and we came to Mara, bitter water, and Moshe Rabbeinu took an eitz. took a tree, took a piece of wood. The Gemara says that wood was a bitter piece of wood, and he threw it into the water. Vayimtiku amayim, and the water became sweet. Says here, Elisha does the same thing with this water. So that's another miracle. Vayal misham Beisel, he went from there to Beisel. He's retracing the steps that Elio took. Elio went from the Gilgal to Beisel to Yericho to the Yarden. So Elisha went from the Yarden to Yericho. Now he moves on to Beisel. V'hu olev aderech, he was going up on the road. U'ne'arim kitanim yatsu mino'ir, and young lads came out of the city. Vayiskal suvo, and they degraded him, they made fun of him. Vayom Rulo, and they said to him, alei kereach, come up the bald one, come up the bald one. Kereach. Remember we had that Elio was a Baal Seyar, was a man of a lot of hair, he had long locks, and Elisha is called the bald one. So they spoke disparagingly to Elisha. The Gemara says, Ne'arim kitanim is a contradiction in terms. Na'ar means not a child. A na'ar means 12 years old, 13 years old, somewhere in that range. Katan means like an 8-year-old. It doesn't. Those two terms are contradictory. So the Gemara says that these were young people who were, they weren't children, they were young people who were minu arim min hamitzvos. Ketanim here means they were small in stature. They were not lofty people who were minu arim min hamitzvos, which means that they were lacking mitzvos. They were not people of mitzvos. They were not God fearing people. Why did they curse Elisha? They cursed Elisha because they had been the ones who were being paid to bring bottled water to Yericho. Since the water was undrinkable there, how do they have water to drink? These were the bottled water providers. So now that Elisha healed the water, they lost their livelihood. So therefore they cursed Elisha, they called him Kereach, they made fun of him, they spoke disparagingly. Now, they did something wrong. This was a sin that they did, a terrible sin actually, because even if you're upset about something, he didn't try to hurt them, that's for sure. Perhaps he could have helped them had they asked for help, but certainly to speak this way to any Navi, all the more so the greatest Navi of the generation, that is an egregious Avera. Vayifen acharav vayireim, he turned behind them and he saw them, Elisha saw them. Vayakalaleim b'shem Hashem, he cursed them in the name of Hashem. And two bears came out of the forest. And they, you need a strong
tore
word.
Tore apart
from them. 42 lads. They killed 42. They tore apart 42 of these lads. The Gemara says here this was also a nes, beselch nes, because there was no forest. He cursed them, the forest appeared, and bears came out of the forest. The Gemara says, why do you need the forest? If you can make a forest appear out of nowhere, so have bears appear out of nowhere. So the Gemara says, because animals are more aggressive when they are near their habitat. If you take them out of their habitat, they become less aggressive. So here the forest appeared so that the bears would be as aggressive as possible, and the bears came out and ripped these people up to shreds.
How could he curse them? I mean, I assume you're going to explain more about
that. Well, because they were sinners.
But these were Jews, right?
Yes. Okay, so hold on.
They're probably embarrassed in public also. Are there some rules, like what you can't do to a Navi, like you can't do to a king? Are there?
You know, what they did was terrible. They did a terrible sin. But still, okay. Vayelech misham al Har HaKarmel. He went from there to Har HaKarmel, which is where Leo used to be. Umisham shav Shomron, and from there he went back to Shomron, which was the place of Elisha. He was in Shomron, and which was also that was the capital of the northern kingdom. Now, the Gemara tells us that Elisha is taken to task for two different things, and this is one of them. That although they were sinners, and they did deserve a terrible punishment, he still should not have cursed them. and therefore he is going to be punished for this act. Not immediately, it'll be later on, but it is one of the two things that Elisha is going to be held accountable for, as we'll see later. Now, another piece of information, which I'm going to just leave you with all these pieces of information. We're going to have to tie it all together. It won't be next week, because next week is Shavuos. So it's going to be 2 weeks from now before we have a chance to tie it together. But I'm going to leave you with this as part of the overall cliffhanger. There's a lot here, as you can tell. This is such a mysterious parak. There's so many elements here that make a great story. So what exactly is going on with all this? But the Gemara says, why 42? What kind of number is that? 42 of these lads were killed. Were there only 42? Why 42? The Gemara says that Balak Melech Moav, Balak the king of Moav, when he tried to have Bilam curse the Jews, on three different occasions, Balak told him, build 7 altars and bring up on those altars karbanos. And he brought up on those karbanos, on those altars, a total of 42 karbanos on those altars. It was 3 different times that it was done. And each time it was 2 karbanos per altar. So it's 14, 14, and 14, which is 42. He brought 42 karbanos. So the Gemara says that in the merit of those 42 karbanos, the Gemara says, mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma, that even though Balak did it because he was trying to get the Jews cursed, but when you do something for not the right reason, but eventually you come to do it for the right reason, it's not a bad thing to do a mitzvah in order to get a reward. Let's say you tell a child or even an adult, if you do this mitzvah, I'll give you something. So you're encouraging them. You say, what do you mean? That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do a mitzvah lishma for God's name. But we're not on that level. So it's okay to do things shelo lishma, not for the right reason, as long as your ultimate goal is to get to the right reason. And that will eventually bring you to doing it in the name of God. So because of the 42 karbanos that Balak brought, he was zocha, he merited, and Rus came from Balak. Balak, from him comes Eglon, and from Eglon comes Rus. That's what the Gemara says. But the Gemara says, but since his intentions were really for bad, because of his 42 karbanos, we lost 42 people. The expression of the negative of his 42 karbanos is the death of these 42 young men. Which means we're going to have to tie together what does his karbanos have to do with these? I mean, why here? It could have happened any time in history. What is it that specifically here, with Eliyahu leaving and Elisha appearing on the scene, that now you have these 42 bad people appear on the scene, which is an expression of those karbanos? What does this have to do with Balak? Number one. What does it have to do with Rus? Rus is the flip side, evidently. Rus was the good side of those 42 karbanos, and these are the bad side of the 42 karbanos. What does that have to do with anything? That also has to be explained. I know that Shavuos is next week. We can't. It's Rus. Okay, but this is going to have to wait for us to really explain this. And we're going to have to also understand, what does it mean Eliyahu went upstairs? What does that mean? Where is he? What is he doing now? What is his purpose? Why didn't he die? What is all of that about? Why does it happen on that side of the Yarden? He left Eretz Yisrael, right? He went out, I mean, he was in Eber HaYarden, but it's not the main part of Eretz Yisrael. He leaves the main part of Eretz Yisrael, and that's where he goes up to Shamayim. What is that about? So there's a lot of things here which we have to discuss. Perhaps a little more information on the Adaris, if we're able to do that too. But we've gotten the basic explanation of the Perek, but we're going to have another session to go through the whole thing.
Is that the same occasion where Yaakov went back?
I don't think so. That was the Yavok.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.